I and several people who you've already met on this channel, Spencer, Jacob, and Bryant, and some people that you will meet in the future, have formed the Mooring Academy. We're going to put out a newsletter every month, and they'll remind you of what's coming up. Right now, as a matter of fact, go and subscribe to our newsletter. But today's topic is further delving into toleration and what liberal toleration means, and then contrasting that with Schindler's idea of toleration. And then I am going to give you some misgivings that I have about both, because though I agree with Dr. Schindler about what's wrong with liberal toleration, I'm not as sure as he is about what could possibly replace it. So D.C. Schindler wants to argue that liberal religious tolerance is a lightweight kind of move to make regarding religion, basically, that it is, as he puts it, a trivializing of what is ultimate. And I agree with that. I think that while liberal toleration on paper is simply not harming other people for their religious beliefs, that even in liberal theory, let alone in practice, that tends to become a sort of relativization of all faiths, or the idea that most religious differences are superficial and not really all that important, and that we needn't really concern ourselves with all these details. And therefore, if a lot of it is just details that are superficial, why are we even arguing about these things? So this is kind of what he's getting at when he says that the liberal diversity theory regarding religions becomes an endless repetition of the same. There's nothing more monotonous than absolute diversity, because from that perspective, those differences that we have don't really matter, right? But to the extent that they really are differences, they really do matter to people. And if they don't matter, they cease to be of any importance. So he's really on to something there. Now, what he wants to argue in this part is that Catholicity, or you know, the Catholic Christianity and its perspective could provide the context in which religious diversity could be more meaningful and more appropriately tolerated. That is, he's going to try to make the argument that Catholicism, rightly understood and if held by enough people and represented correctly, would actually lead to a better type of tolerance. Okay, so to like solidify the first point, to the first point having to do with liberal toleration trivializing people's faith, he mentions that Jefferson said, "But it does me no injury for my neighbor to say that there are 20 gods or no god. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg." And Schindler, I think, rightly translates this into current English by saying, to translate this statement into a more contemporary colloquial idiom, what he is saying is, my neighbor can go to hell for all I care. I think that's true. In other words, Jefferson and some of the other founders did believe, as this quote above indicates, it doesn't hurt me in my personal life, in my self-interest, whatever you believe, and I don't need to care so much. And that is actually an indifference, right, to other people and their beliefs, because if we're respectful to their beliefs, we would have to say that their beliefs are a large part of who they are. And so by saying, I don't care, it doesn't matter what you believe or the differences that we have because they're superficial, you're saying, I don't really care about you. Okay. So this is a point I think that's worth making, and it's one that often is not made. And so I would just ask you to kind of absorb that. I do think he's right about that. And that's why so many people really do feel kind of indifferent about their own faith, if they sort of practice one, definitely about others, you know, that sort of live and let live attitude can lead to just kind of meh. All right. So what Schindler wants to substitute for that is what he would say is true tolerance, real tolerance, and not indifference, right? Which would involve taking whatever religion you have, as well as other religions, seriously. Now, he's coming from the Catholic Christian religion, and he has a preference for Catholic Christianity, and he believes that Catholic Christianity has within it the juice to be able to tolerate for real and respectfully other people's religions, while not trivializing them, but taking them seriously, and therefore achieving actual toleration rather than just meh, okay? Now, here's where, while I agree even with the vision as an ideal, I have to ask if it's too optimistic. That's my question. And here's a quote that kind of will hopefully help me get that point across, or at least like give you an idea of why I'm seriously asking this question. So this is Schindler. He says, "It is not the case that the only alternative to this indiscriminate toleration, liberal toleration, is to deploy the mechanisms of the state to enforce belief through coercion, punishment, and persecution. To think that coercion is the only alternative to tolerance is to take for granted as absolute the fragmentation described above as setting the horizon for all possibilities. The real alternative is to recover the genuine tradition that lies deeper in Western history than this fragmentation, to regraft the branches of our Western civilization back onto that vine without which they cannot be fruitful." So, you know, we're going to talk more in a moment about what does he mean by recover the genuine tradition. But what I can say here, first of all, is that he is acknowledging that there is this fear, right, that if, say, a particular religion gained enough social and or political authority and power in order to achieve this Catholic vision, let's say that the Catholic religion achieved this, there's this fear that it would lead to coercion, punishment, and persecution, and that this is why we have liberal toleration. So we have to acknowledge that there's like a whole long, centuries and centuries long history of exactly that, of coercion, punishment, and persecution in the name of Catholic religion, Protestant religion, and other religions around the world, that this is a very, very common, sad predicament that almost all religions have gotten into, sometimes for most of their history. And we have to acknowledge that liberal thought, at least when it comes to religion, okay, and speech generally, aimed at correcting the abuses of faith, the violence that tended to come from zealous religious faith, it seemed for centuries and centuries that people could not be tolerant if they deeply held their beliefs and aimed at getting those beliefs recognized somehow in a public capacity. That when that combination of religion and political power happen, that almost universally the result was abuse. Why? Because not that everybody has these inclinations, but that political power draws the most power hungry into the power orbit at the top of any system. It is not the most well-meaning people, right? Plato mentioned this like a long time ago, right? That philosophers, that is those who know justice, don't want to rule. Who wants to rule? People who are unscrupulous, who are power hungry, who are cruel, selfish, all these things that we say we don't like, right? So time and again, we've seen this. So this is our history. And what we see in the second half of this paragraph is this real alternative to recover the genuine tradition that will somehow lead us to have genuine toleration, that we'll be able to have Catholic Christianity be more authoritative and have influence within the public sphere more than it does now, which is it has considerable influence, but more closely associated with government without being a theocracy. I want to remind that, you know, he does not want to go there, right? He doesn't want church to rule, but he does seem to want a closer association and cooperation between church and government, and maybe something like establishment. So he wants us to imagine that we could achieve that in a way that it didn't lead to either the violence that it often does and the persecution of others that don't share the faith and so on and so forth, or the indifference that in modern times we've seen when churches are established. Quite a while ago now, I took a trip to Denmark. And while I was there, I took the time to poke around a little bit. And I went to a church or two, and they were empty. I asked people, do people attend church here? You know, they were Lutheran church, because Lutheran is the official church of Denmark. So, I mean, the answer that I got on the buses and stuff, because I was proud of myself. I was kind of young when I did this, but I was asking people and having conversations with them. And the answer that I got was the church is primarily a social service provider. And, you know, it's very good at what it does. It provides education and elder care and hospital care and all sorts of things like this. But we don't really go to church anymore. It's kind of rare, you know, because we have seen the church transform into an arm of the government. Okay. So at any rate, these are both possibilities that come out of this combination of church and state coming close together is, on the one hand, persecution and coercion, and on the other hand, a real indifference, talk about indifference to the actual faith, right? And so Schindler's asking us to imagine that we can correct that. Now, here's where, you know, I think I might have something novel to add, but maybe not, but I'll add it anyway. To say that now our theory and our understanding is different, and now that we've moved through this liberal period and we can see the damage that it causes, and now that we understand the history of the past and we understand Catholicism better, now at this point in time, we can avoid all those obstacles and all those impediments to true faith mixed with true toleration. That is a very modern thought. Now, I think that for the most part, I would categorize Schindler as a conservative, but a conservative learns from tradition, first of all, learns from history and from what has come before, even if that's very unpleasant, because history tells us deep truths about human nature. And that's the second part, is that because of that, or out of that, comes the conservative understanding of human nature as very Augustinian, right? Understanding of human nature as deeply and permanently flawed and probably incapable of that level of self-control. So I tend to think that when Schindler makes this move, that he is perhaps unconsciously following a fairly modern path, which says that we can cut out that which doesn't make sense, keep that which makes sense, and move forward and not repeat the errors of the past. And we can build a new society. And now, if that's sounding a little bit like Enlightenment thought, that is what I'm getting at, is that this kind of creeps in here. I'm sure that there will be people who will argue with me, but this is where I think that it might be fruitful to contemplate if there are aspects of liberal toleration that one would want to keep instead of jettisoning all of that. This is a way of thinking that says we're smart enough now. If we're well informed enough by theology, by theory, we can overcome this. And I'm just interjecting a question here through this observation that perhaps this is not a conservative enough statement for a conservative to make, but a rather optimistic statement. Sure, it's a beautiful idea. No doubt, you know, if we could do it, everybody would be okay. If true toleration could occur based on mutual respect of perceived profound differences, if we were transformed in a way that would allow that kind of kindness towards others, then yes, this would be a beautiful life. But it seems very optimistic, and therefore, I guess I would have to argue that we think long and hard before we transfer all of our hope over into this type of vision, because it requires a tremendous transformation, which could only happen through some sort of miraculous intervention, right? It's not going to happen on the basis of reason alone, in which case the arguments in the book are not going to lead us there, or similar arguments are not going to lead us there, but rather a true awakening of some kind that transforms people's nature, which we can always hope for. But I wouldn't want to like move forward with a political program, you know, in the absence of that. Now, let us get to this question of the Christian tradition. Schindler, throughout the book, introduces this theory that Christianity is the incarnation into the world, the ongoing incarnation of Christ into the world. It didn't end when Christ was crucified and then begin again when he returns, but it began with Christ, extends into the church, and then as the church unfolds throughout history and gets entangled with other traditions, they become a part of that Christian tradition, right? So he talks about a triad of the Jews, the Romans, and the Greeks. The Jews represent theocentrism, and this is a fairly easy pill to swallow, obviously, for Christians. The Jews are the first people that God made the covenant with, and it's out of Judaism that Christianity extends. The Romans, though, a little bit more, I guess, questionable or controversial, right? For the Christian anarchist, this is where Christianity started to lose its focus or its truth, because the Romans represent social forms, institutions, laws, and public presence. And it was in the combination of the Christian faith with the Roman institutions during the reign of Emperor Constantine, when Christianity became the official church, that the Christian anarchist says, this is when Christianity went off the rails. This is when Christianity was compromised by political power. Now, whereas it's easy for me to accept the Judaism part of this triangle, because I've been fairly influenced by Christian anarchist thought, it's more difficult for me to accept this Roman element. Now, Schindler will say that Catholic Christianity takes up the best parts of these traditions as it moves forward and leaves the rest. But the question remains, was it right? Is it correct that Christianity needed to be tied up with the state and state authority and get entangled with politics? And I tend to lean on the side of no, because it seems like a lot of harm has come from that combination. More on that in a second. The third leg is the Greeks, and their contribution is the philosophical lens, right? It's what, you know, the contributions, especially of Aristotle and moving forward into the medieval era, the combination of the ancient philosophy with medieval Christianity, the development of natural law, which is very prominent in Schindler's thought, and so on. Okay, so Schindler argues that this triad saves Christianity from integralism, which would mean more or less theocracy, because by absorbing these other elements, you have the intellectual element of the Greeks, which allows for independent reasoning about moral matters and faith, which tends against theocracy. And you have the institutions of the Romans, which regulate power and to a certain extent divide that power, and provide various avenues of expression while retaining government authority. But he thinks that it's essential to an understanding of Christianity as a tradition and as incarnating in the world, that Christianity intersected with all three of these other traditions and took up into it their best parts. And this is part of the ongoing incarnation of Christ in the world, okay? So that's tying up Christ's incarnation with certain types of political religious interaction. He says, Christianity is a form that receives, heals, and transforms the three distinct traditions of the Greeks, the Romans, and the Jews, and Christian freedom is simply the flourishing integration of all three of these. Schindler wants to argue that the early church made a concerted drive to become an official religion, and that this was part of what it strove for from the beginning. Christian anarchists would disagree with that. They don't see that happening in early Christianity. And I think it's an open question that would need more proving one way or the other. Did some Christians think it would be a good idea for the state to stop persecuting them and then maybe to accept them and so on? Yes, but whether this was actually the bent of Christianity itself is for me another question. He quotes Milbank saying, Christianity cannot be sufficiently incarnated in a fashion that is essential to the work of salvation unless it is in some fashion or another politically established. So if the church wants to become fully incarnate, as Schindler would say, then it needs to have this political expression. It needs to be somehow established, whether that means an actual establishment that the government, you know, establishes this church as the official church, or some sort of closer tie with government that allows for the authority of the church to hold more sway over and with the authority of the government. It can take different forms, I suspect. But I don't know, and I don't know if Schindler has proven that the early church made a concerted drive to become the official religion, or if that was the original intent, or whether, as the anarchists would argue, it was the beginning of the corruption of the church. That is an ongoing question for me. Now, Schindler makes a great point here, and I can't dispute this. Like so much of his book, it's really good stuff, and a lot of it is hard to argue with. He says here, we have what any sane person looking in from the outside would view as the cancerous pursuit of science as technology, essentially untethered to any concern for the common good or for man's eschatological end, a pursuit that, through the momentum of its accumulating financially driven force, in turn tends to drive our now empty politics. Well, absolutely. You know, this leaped out to me because truly this is a lot of what this channel is about, and Dust Bowl Diatribes in particular is about, is this cancerous pursuit of science as technology and how it is untethered from any sort of sense of the common good. And this really does mean that with liberalism kind of like destroys authority and it becomes kind of rudderless, right? Liberal democracies are rudderless in the truest sense of the word. There's no source of authority other than just popular will and financial power and things like that. And so there's no way for us in societies like this to first get guidance before deciding what technologies to develop or how to what aims those technologies should have. So as I've pointed out through Jacques Ellul's writings, the technology begins to rule us and we develop for the technology. And pretty soon the technology in its myriad forms is actually disintegrating the things that we value the most, such as the people that we love, our relationships, our families, our communities, and our religions, and so on. This is all very true, and it's a great argument for why we need authority. I guess one question I would have is there not some space for the church currently to have more authority than it does, even within liberal societies? And should we not see some of that more aggressive pursuit of real moral authority, not the politicizing of a single hot button issue or two, but real moral authority that helps people decide how they will live their lives and actually aids them in doing so, instead of being a place, you know, to come on Sunday and get preached to? If the church became a source of true guidance and support for changing our neighborhoods, for creating cooperative communities, for respecting each other, including our bodies, but also our minds and also our labor. And if it was respectful and taught us how to be respectful of the environment, then I would have more hope that we could eventually have the kind of authority that people would willingly and voluntarily respect and listen to, which is what I think Schindler wants. I would just say that even within liberalism, as corrosive as it is possible for church leaders to actually provide more moral authority and guidance. And that part of the reason why they do not is cowardice. And this is becoming rather, this is like abundantly apparent. And I don't just mean Catholic, but pretty much any sort of church leader in liberal society is either afraid to speak their mind, or they're only preaching to a choir that's really a political party.